Was anyone the donkey for Jesus this week? Yes. All right. Did you carry Jesus with you wherever you went and proclaim Jesus today? You know, I'll start off with this this thought. A dying man got his three best friends together at his bedside: his doctor, his lawyer, and his priest. It's pretty good three best friends. And so he handed each of them. Remember, he's dying on his deathbed. He handed each of them an envelope with $25,000 cash inside. He made each of them promise that they would place the envelope in his casket because he was determined to take this money with him. A week later, he died. At the visitation, the doctor, the lawyer, and the priest each placed the envelope in the man's coffin before it was shut. By chance, about a month later, all three of these men got together. The priest, feeling guilty, confessed that there was only $10,000 in the envelope that he had put in the casket. He told the two other men that rather than waste all of that money, he had $15,000 sent to a mission effort in Africa, and he asked for their forgiveness. Then the doctor told the other two that the envelope that he had placed only had $8,000 in it. He had given the rest of the money to cancer research. How many know there's a lawyer that's left? The lawyer was outraged. He told the two men how disappointed he was at both of them. He said this to them. He says, am I the only one that kept their promise to our friend? I want you to know that I put the full amount in that coffin. I wrote out a personal check for $25,000, and I put that in there. Now, some of the younger people are like, what's a check? And so, but I'll just jump right in. Has anyone ever experienced an empty promise? Maybe someone breaking your heart, a politician on stage saying one thing and then acting out another way, you know, maybe even to a point of a storefront not accepting their own coupon. I've seen Black Friday. I've seen people get these ugly. You know, it can get ugly when that happens. You know, broken promises lead to frustration. And Jesus, as that video talked about, you know, in Matthew 21, you know, today is day one of Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday. And you know, we read last week in, you know, Matthew 21 that, you know, they shouted, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus was going into Jerusalem, and he was riding on a donkey, right? He had a colt with him. He was riding in, and he knew, as everyone was shouting, throwing their cloaks on the ground and the palm fronds, everybody was shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. He knew what he was doing. He knew he was riding in to his crucifixion. He knew that 5 days from today, the same people that yelled, Hosanna, 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 were going to yell, crucify him. We choose Jesus over Barabbas. 5 days, he knew that coming in. He knew that riding in. And so here we find ourselves, like, you know, which just sets it up. This sets it up that broke his promises lead to frustration. And the reason why I say that, Jesus was killed during Passover. You think about that for a second. Passover, a holiday that celebrates God keeping his promises to his people. Jesus was killed during this time. And the Israelites celebrated him as king. But then he died and laid in a tomb. Imagine how the followers of Jesus felt. Talk about feeling like broken promises. Wait a second. He was supposed to save us. Wait a second. He was supposed to, you know, set us free from Rome. I'm sure they all felt as if Jesus delivered an empty promise. But I want to leave you today. If you heard the testimonies from the teenagers, you know, and we start off here, day one of, you know, the countdown to celebrating Jesus next Sunday. You know, what seemed like a broken promise was actually a step up for the world, for a world-changing miracle. It was a setup. It was a setup for a world-changing miracle. It was a step in that direction. They didn't even realize it, but it was a setup for a world-changing miracle. The resurrection doesn't just represent God's promise to the world. It represents God's promise to each and every one of you, each and every one of us. That's what that, when you hear, when the team was saying, when I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see that tomb, I see Jesus. I tell you what, that stirs me up inside because I realize what Jesus did for me. And not only that, it didn't end there. He just didn't rise again. He just didn't say that. But then he gave you the authority. The Bible talks about the treadover serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, that nothing shall by any means harm you, that you walk in life. You walk in fullness. John 10:10, the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come to give you life, and that you have it what? More abundantly, right? More than enough. And so therefore, it's like they may have felt like it was a broken promise, but it was actually a setup for a world-changing miracle. And I tell you what, the resurrection, it represents God's promise to you. So be reminded of that this week. Be reminded, what's holding you back from a world-changing miracle, church? What's holding your family back from a world-changing miracle? You heard teenagers, you know what? You know, basically, you know why they experienced God the way they did? You know why? Because they stepped back from the world. You know, they didn't have very good reception at all, okay? Their phones and everything else, they were with each other. They were with God. I'm telling you what, and that's why there's change. There's miraculous power. There's so many miraculous miracles that took place that a lot of you will never even know about, prayers for these teenagers that were going on behind the scenes. And you know what? God says that he's no respecter of persons. So what God did for them, God will do for you. But a lot of times, we're not willing to pay the sacrifice. We're not willing to go through what others went through. We just want the end result, okay? We want the coupon. We want to get that. We want to get it at a discount. But you know what? I'm not willing to sit there and go through what they went through to get it. But we can't have it that way. It's not the way it is, and that's not the way we live. Because Jesus didn't take an easy way out. He didn't half die on the cross. Not the left side and the right side walked around with him. No, he fully died on the cross, fully finished it. He finished it. 3 days, went to hell, took the keys from death, hell, and the grave, took the authority back that Adam and Eve gave up in the garden, and guess what? He gave it back to you. He gave it back to us. Now it is our responsibility. It's our job to walk in that fullness. It's our job to walk in that authority. And so it's up to you. It's up to us to walk in this. And we let me tell you something. We have the availability to do it. We have the opportunity to do it. What's holding you back from changing someone's world miraculously? I don't have one with me, but little duck. You know what? You know, how many of you, you have to raise your hand because I know it, your heart were just beating. You're like, oh, you're gonna put it on someone's car, right? You're gonna put it, and your heart was beating fast. All of a sudden, oh, someone's gonna watch, someone's gonna see me. Oh my gosh. Let's really think about it. I mean, here we are, we have these, and we're like, hey, give them out to somebody, but like, I'm gonna leave it on the toilet seat in the bathroom. That's if you ever use the bathroom, you know. The guys are like sticking in the urinal and stuff, you know. You know, even if we do it that way, and then we're like, okay, well, so then we have the ducks just leaving there. But I'm telling you what, there is something about the devil wants you to be intimidated, not to tell others about Jesus. That's the bottom line. How more simple can life be than taking a rubber little ducky that gives the website? You don't got to do anything except put it on somebody's little handle of their car, walk away. But your heart beats like crazy. You think, oh my gosh, someone's going to see me. What if this or that or this or that? And before you know it, you talk yourself out of it. And you're like, I just do it next time. I do it next time. I don't want to see how many people, but I'll tell you what. I was reminded about when I was in Publix parking lot this week, and I went to go do it, and all of a sudden, I'm like, all of a sudden, my heart just started beating fast. I'm like, this is what everybody is dealing with this week. This is what everyone that didn't just take the little duck thing out and start blowing it, and you know, or they actually took it and used it, yep, and gave it away. You have to understand that there's power in your testimony. You have to understand that there's miraculous when God's promise, and it's not just to the world, it represents his promise to you. The tomb is empty so your heart can be full. Won't the music ministry make your way up? The tomb is empty so your heart can be full. Can be full of what? Can be full of peace. Can be full of joy. Can be full of what you need from God. You have that peace. Last night, you know, the family was ending up getting them all back together. Everyone's coming from different places. If you didn't know, Pastor Kathy was their cook all last week. So, you know, Nick and I were just like warming up pasta and stuff like that. And all we and we only got takeout once. So it was really good. And so, but we cooked the rest of the time. But we were all talking about the trip last night, because Nate went and is a worker in Jules, and Pastor Patty was back with us, you know, because she was staying with one of her sons and that week. And so we're just talking about the thing. And Nate, we're talking about a couple of the individuals alluded to the tunnel. And I don't know if probably next service, probably talk a little bit more about setting that up in case individuals talk about that. But they went through this, like, it's like a mile. It's a half a mile in a mountain, you said, right? Into this mountain, and it was pitch dark to the other side, and there was a little light on the other side, and a moonlight, that's what, moonlight on the other side, and they were challenged to walk through it alone, without anybody else. Got to the point where they walked in and it was pitch dark. You couldn't see the hand in front of your face. And then the gentleman, Bill Dingle, he began to talk about how individuals that don't know Jesus, they're walking around like that in hell. I should say this. They're walking around in the world without any light. They're walking around in spiritual darkness. But imagine what it's going to be like in hell. Just a little smidget of what's going on. What's going on there? A little smidget of what the hell is going to be like for eternity. And it rocks some of these people's worlds, which led up to the question from Nate when he said to me last night. I was pretty impressed with this because, I mean, he has wisdom beyond his years. I mean, you think about Matthew. Matthew has wisdom beyond his years, you know, and that's because it's cultivated here at FWC. It's not stomped out. It's not squashed. It's not, you know, not out of intimidation or insecurity, but you know what? God believes in you. We believe in you. Nate said this, you know, after the talking about the tunnel, he said, you know, how can a child of God, I'm paraphrasing, how can a child of God not be overwhelmed by having the truth? This truth, the answer that we carry for our family members that may not be walking in fullness. Not be overwhelmed by this weight. And, you know, we discussed it. A lot of those people that went on the retreat felt that weight. Oh my gosh, this is what people that I know, If they don't ask Jesus in their heart, this is what their eternity is going to be like. And the thing is that I don't believe it's a weight for us to carry.
that it's just our sole responsibility. But we do have a part to play. We have a part to play by praying. We have a part to play by when God moves on your heart to do something, then you're obedient to do it. That not every single person, I'm telling you what, I learned a long time ago, and I learned the hard way through with family, when it comes to making a difference in their lives, the best thing that you can do is not preach to them, not preach at them, but you live what you preach. You love them no matter what. Because that's your part. But it is a part. And so this morning, as we dismiss, I'm going to keep my word. Remember, the tomb is empty so your heart can be full. What is it that needs to be full of? Some need boldness in the house. Some need peace. Some, you know what, you do need healing in your body. Some need just a emotional overhaul, mentally, physically, and emotionally. Tell you what, God can meet you right where you're at. The Bible simply says, you have not because you ask not. And in 1 Corinthians 6, 14 says, this is the NIV version. A lot of us know this, the King James version. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. I love that version of it. It just gives us a different perspective of that scripture that a lot of us know. But God desires to raise you up. God desires, but you got to let go of your past. I so appreciate Danny Lynn sharing her heart and what she said. She's not looking at herself now, but she's looking at what God's created. When she looks in the mirror, she's going to start seeing. The more time she spends with God, she's going to start seeing who God created. The woman of God that's on the inside of her. So every head bowed, every eye closed.